following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, turn if you would to Romans 8. Listen, the teaching this morning, you ready? The war to abide in the Spirit. The war to abide in the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here's my point I want to make this morning. There's a war to abide in the Spirit. I'm undergoing this war myself right now concerning issues in my life. The minding of the flesh is death. The minding of the Spirit is life and peace. We have a choice every moment of every day. Where's your mind going to be? Satan and his minions are constantly battling to keep your mind mired, pulled down into the things of the soul, the world, the flesh, the devil, fears, realities, what you see. There's another realm that you don't see that is actually more real than the realm you see. It's the spiritual world. I believe from the spirit world and the natural world, the spiritual world, trust me, is more real. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. God has called us to live in the Spirit. Look at Proverbs 15:24. This is a fascinating little verse. Proverbs 15:24. There's a war to abide in the Spirit. It says here, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. God's called us to live above, not below. Can you hear an amen? We saw Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians 2 says we're seated with him in heavenly places. As believers, where you really are right now is in heaven. You may not feel like it, but in the spirit you are. Christ said in John 3, what is it, the Son of Man, who if you came down from heaven, will be lifted up back to heaven, but is in heaven. A strange little verse. Christ knew that he lived a heaven. Heavenly places, frankly, is another term for being in the spirit realm. To being in the spirit. The Bible says, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're called to live in the spirit, to abide in the spirit. In fact, look at Galatians 5. Let me give you some scriptures about this. There's a war, because the demons, Satan, wants you to be mired, occasionally visit in the spirit to not abide. There's a verse in Psalm 84 that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But then Psalm 92 says, blessed are those that are planted in the courts of the Lord. They're flourishing. God doesn't want you to be a doorkeeper. He wants you to be planted in the inner courts. Some of us are just doorkeepers. We periodically get to peek in, but we live in the soul. We live racked by fears and anxieties and worries and torments and bitterness and all the gunk and physical results thereof. And some of us have learned to abide in the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, for you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And you know this passage, he talks about verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. All the good things that flow out of you when you walk in the Spirit. Whereas he talks about the fruit of the flesh, the wickedness of verse 19 to 21. Guys, we're called to live in the Spirit, to abide in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. It's another way of saying walking in the heavenly realms, walking in the supernatural, walking cognizant of seated in the heavenly places with Christ. That's where we live. That's, in fact, we're called, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our whole calling is to give, live in the heavenlies and give out and bring to earth what is in heaven. How do you do that? Whatever you bind on earth shall be what's bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be what's loosed in heaven. The way you bring the things of heaven to earth is you decree in Jesus' name. There are certain things that are not going on in heaven. Sickness is not going on in heaven. Fear is not in heaven. Depression, cancer, leukemia, injuries, birth defects are not in heaven. All of the maladies of man are not in heaven. Christ said, whatever's in heaven, we dispatch on earth. That's our role, is to bring heaven to earth. How do we do it? As we walk in the Spirit, God has, Ephesians 2.10 says he has these works he sets us in. Just turn there, Ephesians 2.10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. You just walk, and God opens opportunities, and in them you effectually work out what you, where you already are. If you're walking in the Spirit, it's no problem giving from where you are. You can only give from where you are. You can't give from where you aren't. If you're caught up in fear and worry and doubt and anguish, and you want to pray for somebody, what are you going to transfer to them? But if you're living in the Spirit, Jesus said, turn to John 15. John 15, just look quick, a couple of quick verses here. Verse 7, what does it say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He's called us to abide. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Have you found that to be true? That when you live in the soul, you're fruitless. You can do nothing profitable. You're mired in gunk, fears, and junk. Can you hear an amen? By the grace of God, the witness the Holy Ghost gave me, a fellow prayed for me Friday. And he said, brother, it's done. And he gave me some testimony. Prayed for some lady in Nebraska. Never met her. Just prayed over the phone. She went in, all the cancer in her life was completely gone. He said, Chris, I could tell you testimonies till tomorrow morning of healings. And the reason I know that happened to my body is after he began to pray and pray through my body, at the end he had these prophetic words over my life. And how he didn't know that my Apostle Norman spoke similar prophetic words over me. And they were words that I knew I had to be healed to walk out. But I hung up the phone saying, oh my God, how am I going to hang on to this? And it turns out one of the little girls in the church, 2 days before, I'd had a dream that I was going to encounter this guy. A prophetic dream. Well, that was encouragement. Second one, Friday night, the anointing on that fellow flowed right out of me in the room. How many of you are here Friday night? There was a phenomenal word of knowledge that hit me and flowed out of me. It was similar to his. That transfers sometimes. The third witness was the scripture that came in the one-year Bible and an email I received yesterday morning right before I read the scripture that actually linked it together and confirmed me. Three witnesses, and I said, okay, that's enough. Thank you, Jesus. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, what? And I'm declaring it's true in Jesus' name. Even Saturday night, I was still teetering, tough. It was struggling. I said, Lord, I need a witness. Lord, give me a witness. Now, it would be unbelief for me to... God, it's hard to abide in the Spirit. And sometimes God will give you rhemas to help you. That's why he does it. He helps us. But he wants us, if we got a few rhemas, to stand on what we believe. Not standing on some Bible verse you pluck out. Standing on living words of Christ. The living, quickened words of the Holy Ghost. I'm at the point I live by the rhemas, man. He's good. He gives them to me all the time. My favorite verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And I found God will give me peace always by all means. And if I don't have peace, I'll go to him and say, Father, I need a rhema to get that peace. And I'm going to believe and stand and trust, and it works. And you know what? Healing in your body starts in the Spirit. It starts with a profession, a decree of the truth that you're secure of, and it flows down in from there. I knew I couldn't be double-minded. Forget here, double-minded. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And double-mindedness comes often when we're not secure in the rhema. But I'm not double-minded, praise God. I finally got to that point, okay, I'm there. I want to abide. And the teaching is the war to abide in the Spirit. The demon's going to do everything to pull me down. So I got to have a secure. Now look at this verse, Colossians 3, just one or two more places. Y'all are in this battle with me. Every week you're going to hear where I'm at, where I'm going. Amen? I need your support. Look at this verse. I quoted this one probably 15 times in my mind when I was in the hospital. If you then be risen with Christ. In fact, this is the one Norman quoted to me. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things where? Where Christ sits. Now remember, Ephesians 2 says we're seated with him, right? Set your what? Affection. The margin is your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you'll appear with him in glory. And then he says, put to death the members of honor. I really believe it's easier to put to death and be crucified and deny the flesh when you're already seeking things above. It's hard to put things to death when your mind is teetering. But when you've determined to live on things above, not on things beneath, when you turn to abide in the Spirit and trust the rhema word, when you turn to believe what you see in the Spirit and not what you see. Remember 2 Kings 6, the servant of Elisha said, oh Lord, we are surrounded, what shall we do? And Elisha said, don't worry, there are more with us than with them. So the little prophet looked at himself and Elisha and a couple of guys behind him with swords. Then he looked out over the multitude all the way to the horizon, tens of thousands of enemy. And here's this old prophet leaning on his staff, says, oh, don't fret, there's more with us than with them. He rubs his eyes a little bit, says, okay, there's two of us up here on the wall, maybe 30 behind us, and there's about 120,000 of the enemy out there. And then Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Y'all like that verse? And suddenly his eyes were open, and he saw up in the heavenlies from the horizon up with thousands and thousands of chariots of the Lord and mean-looking angels glaring at the enemy. And he went, oh, okay. I didn't see it. But Elisha was able to move in that realm. Amen? Do y'all remember the scripture, the angel of the Lord do what? Encamp? We have an angel of the Lord. There is an angel that walks with each one of us, I'm convinced. Why would they say about Peter in Acts 12, oh, it's his angel? Talks about little kids, or angels do behold the face of my Father. What point did the angels leave? If they're there when you're a little kid. Now, some of them may want to leave the way you're living. We have an angel of the Lord, but the point is, guys, God wants us to open our eyes and live where we are. Can you hear an amen? This is the truth. It's a choice. Now, I want to tell you something. It takes mental discipline by spending time in the presence of the Lord. It takes discipline, guys. You've got to have mental discipline. I am so grateful when I was sitting in the hospital with no stimuli for about 10, 15 days and at home, because of the mental discipline I put in my life over the last several years, I was able to stay in the Spirit through mental discipline. There were moments it was really touch and go. The kind of fear and things in the natural were hitting me. Dude, I was really close to losing it at one point. But I called Bo that night, and he prayed over me, and then I had a vision. God helped me. Mental discipline, guys, it's all about making a choice. He says, set your mind what? It's a willful choice. You've got to resist the devil. You've got to identify the sneaky little demons that come in to lie to you, to seduce you with fear and the natural. And you'll have people all around you say things, well-meaning people that mean things well. Trust me, I got them in my family. They love me, but they don't understand the things of the Spirit. For the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the soulish mind. And it's folly. I was all ready to go and do alternative therapy. I was going to do, we found an alternative therapy that's not chemo that has a very high success for cases like mine. We were ready to do it. I was within, frankly, 24 hours of doing it. It's real simple. And then the Lord shows up and does all this and basically rebukes me and says no. And that put a lot of fear in me because I realized my trust would begin to be in an alternative therapy that had a lot of good success. And the scripture says, no, you trust in me and I'll send an angel of the Lord and blast the demon. So I basically thrown my life at the feet of Jesus, said, okay, Jesus. And all of a sudden I began to feel this peace. Is it a discipline to keep your mind on things above? I'm going to tell you the secret, spend time in His presence. In the morning, get up. Put quiet in your quiet time. Worship in tongues. The key is tongues. Worship in tongues. Sing in tongues. A lot of us have quiet times. You just talk to God about stuff. That's fine. But worship in tongues. Get up in the Spirit in tongues. Sing in the Spirit. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips. How does that go in Ephesians 5? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. It's singing in the Spirit. When you worship in the Spirit, you sing in tongues 5 or 10 minutes, you get still, the anointing falls, and you're in the Spirit. How many of y'all want to mentally discipline yourself? 3 people. I'm just telling you, when the catastrophe hit, I thanked the Lord for the mental discipline I put in my life. I was able to withstand. And having done all to stand in the evil day, having on the armor of God. And all hell came at me one night. I mean, gnarling, I mean, demons from the lower Abaddon pit of Satan's abyss were crawling on me like spiders one night. And I was just hanging in there, but all I could say was, Jesus, Jesus, I trust you, Jesus. And sing in tongues. You can't sing very much when you're sick and wounded and hurting, but the little I could, it held me above. Can you hear me? I'm grateful for the privilege. Because I found out greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Folks, I've been to hell, but I saw heaven. I did. In fact, the other day I called Sherry in there. She's a jeweler. I said, what color is sapphire? Because the elders saw that under his feet wears a paved stone of sapphire. She said, blue. Light blue. I said, that's exactly the color. What, dark blue? It was the blue. When I saw that shaft into heaven, it was exactly that color. Whoa. And I tell you, I saw an angel of the Lord under it. And I, at that point, I realized there is no way I'm going to get in there with sin. There was no sin allowed in there. If there's sin in your life, folks, don't kid yourself. The blood of Jesus forgives you, but if you don't repent, that sin will keep you from the gates. Are you hearing me? Look, I'm not blowing smoke. This is real. I think God's told me in the months and years to come, I'm going to have to be incredibly vulnerable about my sin to warn people to flee from the wrath to come, because I've found a verse that the day of wrath is for the believers in Romans 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 says the believers are delivered from the day of wrath, but Romans 2 says you're subject to it. If you, with an impenitent hardness of heart, do not lay up for yourselves the treasures and reap eternal life. Eternal life is not something guaranteed. You reap it by faithfully following Jesus Christ. Can you amen? He said, well, that puts the fear of the Lord in me. Amen. Well, that makes me insecure. Amen. It's good to be insecure when it comes to sin. Because if you're secure in your sin, you're going to hell. You need to be insecure about your sin. Amen? You need to know that if I mess with sin, I'm insecure. My eternal salvation is insecure. You need to shrink from sin as a man would shrink from fire. Last verse. Conclusion. Conclusion? Isaiah 26:3. Conclusion. Isaiah 26:3. Y'all all have heard this, but I love this verse. You ready? Thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, let me tell you something I found out about the last part of that verse. See, for a long time, I would say, well, there's no way to just focus your mind on him. It is hard, isn't it? Out of your own strength. Singing in tongues help. But then the Lord said to me once, about a year ago, he said, look at the last part of that verse. Because he what? Guys, that's where you want to get, where it's a trust. It's really trust. Well, you trust in him. He loves you. He's faithful. You don't have to fear. If he sees your heart, he will help you stay in the Spirit. God wants you to trust him. Faith is one thing. Trust is a whole different thing. I think trust is grown-up faith. Faith is what we do to get out of the boat. Trust is what we do to walk out on the water. It takes faith to get out of the boat, but it's trust when you're walking out on the water. I trust in the Lord. Listen to this. With all my heart, and I lean not unto what? Proverbs 3:5. Everybody knows that verse. But that means to get out of the thinking realm. You don't lean on the understanding realm of what you see, because by faith, we live in a realm we cannot see, but it's the realm we abide in. And if you live in that realm, you have much to give everyone you're around. Because you can dispatch the things from the heavenlies and hand them out, the manna. I think there's angels walking around little carts filled with manna, healing. They're just moving around in the heavenlies with little carts, you know, little trays, hors d'oeuvre trays. And you're standing there, and they've got all these things. Glory and peace, ending of strife, healing of blindness, healing of colds, boldness, all these things in the heavenlies. Now down here in the earth, there's little demons pushing carts around. And in those carts, they have things like fear and dread and worry and sickness and panic. Amen? Destitution and poverty. And the angelic beings, they have little carts with all this cool stuff. So where are you? And whose cart you going to pick from? If you don't, it takes effort to stay in the spirit, guys. It takes effort. You will, by nature, default to the soul. Give an amen. If you get up in the morning, you don't do anything, by mid-morning, you're under it, man. You're depressed and worried about this and angry at that. Give an amen. It's because you didn't do the right thing. All you got to do is repent. Forgive me, Jesus. Come back into his presence. Renounce the devil. Get back in the spirit and pull something off a cart. For yourself, forgiveness, forgive myself, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then you encounter a need. So God brings someone to your mind. And so you reach on a cart. They need healing, Lord. I was praying for somebody just this morning in my quiet time, an individual in this church. And I said, Lord, they need that thing inside of them to manifest so I can speak to it. The situation, I said, Lord, I dispatch in Jesus' name the grace of the Lord Jesus so it can manifest so they can be free because they're in bondage right now. As a pastor, I could see. And I said, Lord, have mercy and manifest it so they can be free from the delusion that's come over their mind. Can I amen? And I was able to take that up the cart and decree that in the name of Jesus. And I trust in the next week or two it'll happen. And a door will open for me to speak and open the prison doors. I found it starts in the spirit realm. Let's all stand. Was this encouraging to you tonight? Clint, the title? The War to Abide in the Spirit. Let's stand. Jesus. Let's just wait on the Lord a minute. We got, man, I'm amazed. Look at that. 12 o'clock on the night. Jesus. Come, Holy Ghost. Lord, help us to be mentally disciplined. I want you right now to confess to the Lord. Well, you know what I want you to confess to the Lord? I want you to confess to the Lord your passivity, your laziness, and your presumption. And what I mean by it is, it's evidence, listen, by the turmoil you go through, by the fear and the frustrations and the valleys. Guys, God has called us in Psalm 84. It says, in the valley you shall make a well. God's given us an ability, no matter where you are, to walk in the Spirit. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I've been lackadaisical and lazy and lukewarm about it, and I'm suffering the consequence. I'm racked and worried and anxious and troubled. I find myself running to indulgences and things I don't like to do, but I do them. I'm hiding behind amusements so that I don't have to face, and I'm just, forgive me, Jesus. Guys, you're like a doorkeeper. Yeah, you get to see once in a while on the weekends when the anointing comes, but you live out there in the outer court. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Guys, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord, to abide in the presence of the Lord and to behold his beauty. So that in the time of trouble he would lift my head up above my enemies round about me, and I will offer in his sanctuary shouts of joy, yea, shouts of rejoicing to the Lord, Psalm 27. Come on, make that commitment to the Lord. I want to live and abide in the Spirit this week. And then, as you go in, guys, and knock, go into a store, and you offer to pray, and someone's sick, guess what? You can lay hands, and guess what? God's power will flow through you. You'll be available to open the prison doors, to minister, to set the captives free. And I tell you what, Jesus will be happy with you. And he'll come back, come around, and give you a bucket full of everything you've been striving for. Everything in every realm, it'll just be there. Just all sitting like glittering gold on the ground for you to pick up. If you just be about the kings and the things of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all the other stuff, trust me, God is going to throw you away. So ask the Lord to forgive you this morning. Make a new commitment just to get in the Spirit, to abide in the Spirit. Don't believe the muck of the devil. Teach us, Lord, to rest in you, to walk in you, to live in the heavenly places. I bind the devil. I bind you lying, seducing spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I take your authority over this body. I take your authority. Take your power in Jesus' name. Go. Come, Holy Ghost. Come. The Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Just spoke to me. I'm going to be obedient to what he just said. The Holy Spirit said he wants me to lay hands on everybody's head. Come up here if you want it. Come here. Line up, man. Just walk by me. I just heard him say it. Let it alone. While I'm singing in tongues. Just come on, go, just walk by. Oh, Lord, come. Ham, Lord. Let it alone. Let it say, oh, Lord. I just speak a blessing. Come on. More Lord. Hallelujah. Dios sería lo me alonia. Honti alo. Hiri alo le malayo sitiko. More Lord. Transfer, Lord. I'm transferring. I'm blessing. Put one on me. Come on, worship him. Transfer the anointing, transfer the power, transfer the ability, Lord, to stay. Transfer discipline, mental discipline. Transfer it in Jesus' name. Transfer it in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, come with power, come with healing, Lord. Come on. Power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, power in Jesus' name. I banish darkness. I banish fear. I banish the power of inability and craving fear in the name of Jesus. I banish you. Intimidation. Timidity. I banish timidity and cowardice in the name of Jesus. I banish you in the name of Jesus. Timidity and cowardice in Jesus' name. And fear of man. I break the power of fear of man. I break it in Jesus' name. There it is. I just sense the Lord say he's opening some eyes right now. He's opening eyes and you're seeing. There are certain ones in the room right now. You're seeing. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. God is causing you to see now in the spirit with the eyes of your spirit. You're seeing. You're seeing where you are and who you are. Don't let go. Don't doubt in the dark what you see in the light this week. Oh, this week, the darkness will try to hinder. Don't doubt in the dark what you see in the light. Walk in the light while you have the light, that you may be children of the light, Christ said. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship one before God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow or variableness of turning. Bashtin.God. Let light come. I pray for light. Luminescent brilliance of the Spirit right now. Burn, O Lord, in thy light. We shall see light, O Lord. Bishtantikai. Illuminate. Bishtun, the light of the Holy Ghost of the heavenlies. The light, the inapproachable light that no man can approach unto. That we would get glimpses of the eternal light that shines from the faith. Terra. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. In Jesus' name.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.